Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you are listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking. And if it is the, what day is it? It's the second Monday, third, fourth, I forget. The third Monday. If it's a third Monday, it must be Match No Match with Cynthia Hyatt. Hey, Cynthia.
Hey there.
How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Now, everyone's off, but we're working. What's
I
up
know.
With that?
Because this isn't really a job.
I know. It's fun. It's helping people.
So it's not work. Yes.
You're absolutely right. So Monday, the 21st, is President's Day, and probably people are having picnics, driving around, listening to great advice that you're about to give.
Yes.
When it comes to relationships.
Yes.
And what a great show today. We're going to talk about part two, emotional baggage.
Yes.
We started that last month. Mm-hmm. And at 3 o'clock, a special surprise for everyone. I'll reveal the surprise.
Good.
It's
yes.
Hayden Gilbert from Los Angeles, examiner.com. He's the LA online examiner for examiner.com. That means all about online dating. Everyone wants to know about
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Do you see that a lot in your practice?
Absolutely.
Everyone's
yes.
online?
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. That, you know, technology really has entered into the romance of relationships.
Well, a lot of it has to do with the fact that we live our lives so differently now. You know, when I was growing up, you kind of, you know, you went to high school and there was three high schools in Tempe. You know, there wasn't all these different charter schools and all these
right.
different other places to meet people. And then you went to college and you went to a state university generally. And so it was kind of this momentum of that's where you kind of met people. And so now we are so diversified, and we have people that are waiting a long time to get married, or we have, you know, multiple marriages, that it makes it very difficult to meet anybody because
yeah.
of the way. And now there's a lot of, you know, legalities about dating at work.
Yeah,
and
that's
so the
right.
one place that you spend the most time with, you probably can't be looking there for someone.
Yeah, that's not
and
a good
so,
idea. Is
right.
It?
And so the online dating, even though it has, you know, still has some stigma to it, and it isn't as maybe as romantic initially as people would like. It is very effective.
I think it is. There's so many websites out there, and we'll probably talk to Hayden about that too.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the advantages, disadvantages, some of these websites from Match.com to eHarmony to a bunch
yes,
of them. Plenty
yes.
of I've even heard PlentyOfFish.com.
Yes, I've heard of that one too. It's supposed to be pretty good.
I think it's free, someone told
mm-hmm.
me. I don't know for sure, but Plenty of Fish, I mean... So
go
fish,
right? I think it's a Christian online
oh, is
dating
it?
Is what that one is. Yes.
Oh.
And I've heard some good things about that. There's a plethora of online.
It's unbelievable. It just shows that people want to get connected
yes.
almost at any cost. But
yes.
that's why you are here to help people.
Well, and interesting you say that.
Yeah.
Want to get connected at any cost, because one of the blogs that I'm doing right now is about relationships. And I hear quite frequently in my practice when people have been burned, they say, I'm not doing relationship anymore. I'm done
yeah.
with relationship. And I always say to them, that's not possible, because we are relational beings. And so you will relate with somebody, even if it's the person at Circle K.
Yeah.
Even if it's your pet. I mean, we have a relationship with inanimate objects even, because we just are relational beings. So the difference is whether or not we have intimacy.
You know, oh, yeah.
And so whether we can make the relationship positive or negative, but we can't not relate.
Yeah, that's like you cannot not communicate.
Right. So I say to people,
yeah.
you know what? Here's your choice. You can either get in there, get back in, learn how to do what you need to do to make that relationship positive and have the intimacy that you desire, or you're going to just have more negativity. And so in your attempt to self-protect by a relationship avoidance, you get more hurt.
You know, that
and more loneliness,
yeah.
more upset, more
and
isolation.
On and on, it's mm-hmm. a self-fulfilling prophecy.
And then
prophecy.
You become less effective in your relationship style, which makes it harder when you go to re-enter.
And then it reinforces your belief, like there's
That's
no one
exactly
out there for
right.
you. And they're right, because
exactly
maybe
right.
you're too defensive, right?
That's right.
Not you,
That's
of
right.
course, the other people I'm talking
That's
about.
Right.
So the key is to get clear, release any negativity and hurts,
right.
and really have good discernment, perhaps.
That's right. That's right.
And really try to evolve yourself, because as you evolve, if you believe in like the law of attraction, you might attract a different quality type of person.
Well, and you know, when you say the whole thing about discernment, a lot of times what that causes us to want to do, and we've talked about this before on the air, being externally controlled or internally controlled. And the more, if I have this external locus of control, then I want to try to figure out people and whether or not they're good for me. versus an internal locus of control says, the more authentic I am, the more I know me, the better I know whether that person is right for me.
Oh,
so it's
I
that
like it.
It's that, you know, that concept or that what they explain about counterfeit money. And one of the ways they teach people to recognize counterfeits is they immerse them in the real thing. So they get so immersed in the real money that when they come across a counterfeit, they know it immediately, versus trying to teach them all the different types of counterfeits.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. And so the more that I'm authentic, I'm the real thing, I perceive and discern very quickly a counterfeit.
A counterfeit person.
Mm-hmm. But if I'm not, if I'm counterfeit myself in many ways.
You'll attract the counterfeit.
And I won't know that they're being counterfeit.
So what's up with that? I bet it's like, it's such a huge percentage, I think, of people that are not going internally and they keep externally looking outward. And they repeat the same behavior patterns,
yes,
getting the same
yes.
type of person.
Yes, and getting more wounded, which creates more emotional baggage.
Oh, wow, are you good. That is good. That should be a book deal, right, Kurt?
There you go.
Kurt says yes. Wow, I think, hey, you got the bell. That is good. And, of course, you don't want to be egotistical, too, because, as Kurt knows, there's a certain song that would lend itself to egotisticalness. Is that such a word?
What song
is that?
That
he might play right now as a
Which
surprise.
Is?
In about a few minutes, he's going to surprise you with a certain song.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
And you'll know.
I'm afraid.
Yeah, I'm sort of afraid myself because it may not do much service to me. But anyway, today is Emotional Baggage Part 2.
Yes.
And, you know, and that's sort of what we're talking about, because if you have emotional baggage, you better clean that up before
yes.
you try to get in
or
a relationship.
Or at least be aware of when it's activated.
Yeah. Because
some emotional baggage takes, you know, quite a while sometimes to heal from, depending on the degree. And sometimes it's kind of attached to different things. And so you might think you got it cleared up, and then you find out there's some other stuff underneath it. And, you know, sometimes you find it out as you're relating to people. And so the more aware you are of things like what we call triggers, that you understand, wow, this is really about me. This person is not doing anything. I'm getting worked up. I'm getting activated or triggered.
What is the best way, by the way, to discover your emotional baggage? I mean, some of it's probably so deeply embedded, you can't even see beyond yourself. And is there any ways, should everyone like go to a counselor for wellness and for any reason, not to wait for a crisis, but to say, hey, can you sort of let's look inward a little bit and help me find and pinpoint and release some of the emotional baggage?
Of course, I would recommend that. You know, we say to people that you maintain your car, we say you maintain your body, you maintain your finances with a CFP.
Right.
You know, but we somehow, our mind can be quite arrogant and egotistical itself, and it doesn't think it needs any help.
Yeah.
And so it wants to think it maintains itself. And so I think it's extremely helpful to be doing a whole wellness and excellency pursuit.
That totally makes sense to me, because a wellness program, like a self-improvement program, people should really focus in on that more than they do.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people spend such a small percentage on that. Or maybe they'll buy a book and that's their program for the day.
And that's being externally controlled. That's
yeah.
an external locus of control. It's always them out there. And if I can just get them to act right, then I'll be okay.
Yeah, that's right. I wonder
versus, taking responsibility for how much of the mix I am.
Yeah.
What are you going to play now?
Are you going to play this for us?
I can play it if you want, sure.
Okay, well, here we go.
Do we really want this?
See if this is egotistical.
This is very egotistical. This is from a guy's point of view here.
Okay, I'm ready.
And here we are, Rother, trying to find that really good relationship.
Okay, just play the song.
That's true. That's one thing. But you see, while you're out there trying to find that woman.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, then you might find somebody.
Is that like a locally created produced song?
Actually, this was on the top 40 about 1974.
Yeah. Oh, that is hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, there was.
Well, and things never change, do they?
No, they don't, actually.
But now, when you want to meet someone, this is what you're going to hear in
that's
your
right.
dreams.
You've got to find a woman.
Well,
no,
that's true.
Not this one, a different
this
one.
This coming one?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously, you want to find one.
Okay.
And then after, maybe you see somebody you kind of like.
Okay.
Here we go. Oh, wait, that's not the one. I wasn't thinking of that one.
And how long have you been working on these?
A long time.
Okay.
Oh, well, we can play that, too.
Okay, so here, once you find someone, this is who you might be dreaming of. Here we go.
Well, I mean, it depends on what you're dreaming of.
Play the song.
Yeah, there we go.
Absolutely. So obviously we can do something like this.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Okay, thank you so much. I thought you would like that. That was the one I was thinking of.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, sorry. But that,
no, that's okay.
Turn it off,
okay.
Please.
Here we go.
Well, we went to a lot of production value
turn
getting
it,
this for Dave. Yeah.
Turn
he's our main guy here.
There,
you know?
There we go. Okay. Well, anyway,
oh
enough
goodness,
of the
that's
the
hilarious.
Fooling around. Is that funny?
That is really good.
Yeah, we do play that sometimes.
That is really funny.
Yeah. Okay, but that's not what people want to do.
I got emotional baggage now.
Yeah, exactly. Just think what I'm going through.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The trauma.
Oh,
although,
yeah.
Hey, I sort of like that. Okay. Anyway, emotional baggage part
yes.
two. So we really started on this, and I thought that first question was a good one. How do people really discover it? A lot of people think, you know, hey, it's not a big deal. Maybe they don't have it, or they have it, but it's not. They don't know how it really... how it really enters and affects their life, but it's big time.
It is.
So tell us a little bit more about that.
When you think about emotional baggage, we generally understand that emotional baggage occurs because of trauma. And so when we are traumatized, we create a defense mechanism. We create a paradigm possibly construct or, you know, the way that we view things from then on. It might be that if I liked men originally and I go out on, you know, and I date or I get married and I have a terrible experience, then I might generalize. All men are now bad.
Yeah.
Well, that would be emotional baggage because then any man I meet is working hard at undoing a perception they had nothing to do with creating.
Like the song Billy Joel, Innocent
right,
Man.
Exactly.
I think we've talked
yes,
about
exactly.
that. And it's really sad because, of course, women, men, they all do it. And generalization has a useful purpose. But certainly not when you color everything the same color or the same, you know, concept.
Well, and it causes you to not be able to interact or to have any kind of meaningful interaction with someone on an authentic level because you've already made a decision about them. You've already created, you know, what would then become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
Because if I have a negative perception of men and I already go into it highly defensive, then I'm going to get some pretty negative responses back, which furthers my perception.
That's right. He'll say, see, men
exactly.
always treat me this way.
That's right.
Oh, that's
right.
That's, or, you know, or women, you know, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't, you know, either way, but I hear eggs quacking.
Did somehow, I'm not sure what that was.
That was like a chicken or something. Maybe chicken soup for the soul. Okay. So anyway, generalizing is, how do people then determine and know that they're generalizing? Sometimes it's so automatic
mm-hmm.
with people. It's just, and they might say, well, it's just part of me. And they're right. It might be part of their identity, which they got to get out of their identity because.
Right, well, that's what we identified last time.
Yeah.
Is that baggage, you know, if I'm not clear about what it is, I think it is me and it is the way that I am made.
Yeah.
Because it now becomes an automatic response.
That's right.
And so it's automatically activated, which causes me not to feel like I'm choosing to do that. And generally
yeah.
that kind of a feeling makes it feel like it's just me.
That's a great point because a lot of people will say that, won't mm-hmm. they? People don't think they have choice. They go,
right.
this is just how I am.
Right.
That's their first tip-off, wouldn't it be? That
yes.
maybe that, wait a minute, if you start from the premise that you have no choice, that's a problem.
Well, and the biggest tip-off is beliefs and opinions you're not born with. So we know it's not authentic to you necessarily
yeah.
unless it's gone through the process of you internalizing it through your own authenticity. And
yeah.
now it is a manifestation or an expression of who you are.
Yeah.
But an original opinion, an original belief only occurs as you are interacting with the world around you.
You know, that totally makes sense. And, you know, so many people, they get dating advice from wherever. And it's sort of silly often, I think, is they'll say, well, make a list of what you want. And I always thought, okay, well, that's fine, but the starting point should be who do you want to become to be that type of person to attract who you really
Absolutely.
Want?
Absolutely.
Why don't people really look inward like that to make a list?
Well, that would be obvious. It's very frightening sometimes.
Oh.
It means that their self-responsibility I might have to change.
Wow. So
instead of focusing on the external and blaming, deflecting,
yeah.
you know, holding everybody else accountable and saying, well, and then I can be victimized because then the whole world is doing this to me. And if it were different then, and you get into the coulda, woulda, shouldas, if only then.
Yeah. And, you know, it's sad because people, if they don't have introspection, if they don't start clearing out that baggage, you can almost predict their life in terms of that particular area.
Well, and that is one of the things that occurs in therapy frequently. And I will say to people, you know, as we are interacting and discussing, they'll say, oh, you can like read my mind. How did you know I was going to say that? And I will say to them, because the more dysfunction we have, the less authentic and original it is. The more dysfunction I have, the more I know the script. I can tell you exactly what you're going to think and say and do.
Wow.
And so the more functional, the healthier I become, the more authentic I become, then I am this now original, unique being that is always growing, always changing, still remaining the same to my authenticity.
Right.
And so there's always something new to know. There's always a newness about it. So I can't predict it. The healthier people get, the more I need to know them versus me telling them who they are.
So once you tell them that, does that sort of jar them a little bit, saying, hey, you know, the script is the script. I could predict. I know what's going to happen. You better change. Or guess what?
You keep getting what you're getting.
Yeah. Does that jar? I mean,
I mean, the majority of people that I work with certainly are there because they want to change.
Yeah.
And they are looking for answers. And you know, the axiom, you know, then you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So when we give people truth in a timely manner, you know, not the truth when they are not prepared, because that becomes barbaric sometimes.
Yeah.
That when we give them the truth, and we give them the truth in love, because we are wanting intentionally good intention for them, then that can set them free, even if it's painful to hear.
Well, that's sort of nice how you said that, though, the truth in love. So you don't want to be necessarily abrupt about it. And,
right.
And someone told me the definition of wisdom is when, you know, really talking to people at the level they're at,
mm-hmm.
versus maybe too high up and maybe they just don't get it, but you sort of give them baby steps often.
Right. Well, and it also comes down to intention. If I'm telling a person the truth because I'm truly looking out for their best interest, then it's going to have a much different impact than if I'm telling them the truth because I want to tell the truth about them.
Or when people give advice, they're doing it out of their own anger.
Right, or their own intention, or their own need for power or control. And so when I'm telling the truth and using the truth for those reasons, it can harm people very much, even if it is the truth.
You are awesome.
No.
Man, no, that is really good. Oh, look, I've embarrassed it. Do we have a Cynthia song like
no.
they? Okay, just kidding. No. Maybe next time. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with Cynthia Hyatt. And this is Match No Match. We're talking about emotional baggage. Believe me, once you clear that out, the world seems like a different place. We'll be right back.
Are you able to ensure the safe driving and productivity of your employees? I'm Kara Lee with GPS Heroes, and with our plug-and-play GPS device, you can set geofences, get speeding alerts, and a full report card each week with driver reports and mileage, all to your computer or handheld device. It's easy to get and easy to use, in real time, with no service contracts. Just go to gpsheroes.org/21 and order yours today. That's gpsheroes.org/21.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Match No Match starring Cynthia Hyatt. We're talking about emotional baggage, part two. Of course, if you want to hear part one, we have all the shows archived at breakradioshow.com. That's
yes.
B as in boy, R-E-A-K, breakradioshow.com. Click on Archive Shows, and you will see Match No Match and hear the lovely voice of Cynthia Hyatt. No relationship to the Marriott hotels.
That's right.
Or the Hyatt hotels.
That's right.
I thought that was funny. Give me a laugh on that one. Anyway, let's go through some things that on emotional baggage, I think that would help people. So listening to one's gut or listening to the woundedness or other emotional baggage, how does that work? I mean, do you have to have a keen sense of hearing, not physically, but hearing the things underneath the baggage?
Absolutely. I think it really comes down to people understanding the difference between a feeling that now is causing me to be reactionary versus a feeling that is an indicator. See, all feelings are physical sensations. So I tell people frequently, we don't choose our feelings. If I could choose my feeling, I would be happy all the time.
Uh-huh.
What I do choose is how I respond, and I also choose how I think about it. So I can choose how long the feeling lasts. I can choose how big the feeling gets by the way I think about it or by what may be behind it, how I'm interpreting. So when I have a really big feeling, then one of the ways that I know there's emotional baggage is if I don't feel like I can control the way I respond. So if I'm getting triggered, then I'm going to come across in a way that I'm going to go, man, I didn't want to do that. Why was I so big? Why didn't I say anything? Why did I shut down? And so that's usually an indicator that feeling, there's something more behind that feeling than just an initial feeling.
Or why did I say such a thing?
Right, exactly. Why did I go off like that? Why did I, whatever it turned into that you want to try to undo.
It's like the person getting ridiculed at work and come home and kick the dog.
Right.
It's like, is that called displacement?
Right. Yes. Or deflection, yes.
Yeah.
And so is that staying with me? You know, one of the ways I know that maybe there's some emotional baggage for me is maybe someone will say something to me or act in a certain way and I keep thinking about it and I can't let it go. You know, and every time, I keep thinking I let it go and it comes back. And I'm like, now, it could be that the person did certainly something extremely offensive. But if I'm caught now, it's like I'm now in that web. I'm now caught in that trap where I'm not free anymore. Then many times that's going to indicate something. Is it offensive to me simply because it hit my ego, and I got into the how dare you treat me that way and how dare and who do you think you are talking to me that way? It still is accurate that it could be extremely offensive and inappropriate, but it's how I am responding that is going to tell me where it's touching me and inside of me.
And the meaning you place on that particular
dialogue. And then how I end up either responding or reacting.
Because if someone told me, like, I'm a really bad mechanic, it wouldn't affect me because I don't know anything about autos, right?
Right.
Except
so it's
I
not
know
personal.
How to drive one.
That's right. So it's not personal.
So that's another way to look at it is, but if someone touches a sore spot, there's something underneath that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
Absolutely.
It's good to find out.
And some of it, truly, I don't want this to be confused, that emotional baggage doesn't mean simply I have emotional baggage because I have a negative feeling. Okay, if somebody is mean to me, I don't have to have emotional baggage to get my feelings hurt. That's not emotional baggage. The emotional baggage component is I got my feelings hurt and now what? How deep does it go? How big does it get? What generalizations do I make? How do I act toward that person? How do I shut down to other people? What kind of destructive behaviors might I get into because that person was mean to me? That's part of like, what is going on with me? What is going on inside of me that this one statement or behavior has turned into this inside of me?
And if you think about that, what you're really saying is that one statement, if it's really impacting your life in a way that's not resourceful, look into it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it can pull you down to depression, you can't do your work, you're not relating well to your spouse or your friends, your family, your kids, that means that had such an impact that it's really now you're giving the opposite of a gift. You're giving some negativity out to the world.
Right, right. And so we want to certainly differentiate between abusive, offensive people and how that affects me. That is victimizing or it is abusive. Of course I'm going to have a negative feeling about it. But if I have emotional baggage, then what I do when someone abuses me, like let's say I have unresolved abuse issues. A new person abuses me. If I have baggage and it's not resolved, then I'm going to do one of two things. I'm going to either abuse somebody else, so I'm going to go take it out on someone else.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it out on myself. If I have abuse issues in the past and I resolve them and somebody is abusive to me, then I will respond in a constructive manner. I will either confront them or I will decide not to be in a relationship with them anymore, but I will not personalize it and be re-injured.
That makes sense. And, you see that all the time with people. They get burned in a relationship, mm-hmm. and that, sadly, if they don't release those feelings mm-hmm. of negativity, then the next relationship, that person may be the target.
Right, absolutely. And then what happens is you're not really getting to know that new person. You're only perceiving old things on that person. So they now have just become an object for you.
Yeah.
That you're projecting things onto. They're no longer a person.
That's a shame.
Yes.
Is that one of the causes, you think, for the high divorce rate?
I think that could absolutely be a part of it.
Yeah.
And some of that is the projection might be because of old things that are not being resolved. And so people are getting into scripting with one another. So even if they try to act new toward the person, they still are being perceived through the old paradigm.
So you need to tune into your own internal dialogue, and sometimes that's probably hard to hear. Sometimes it's right mm-hmm. there in a loud voice. It may not even be your voice. It could be a parent's voice or something
mm-hmm.
like that. And sometimes it could be so unconscious you might not even hear it,
right.
But it may manifest, in a feeling or how you behave?
Many times it manifests more in behaviors.
So how does that work?
Well, a lot of it has to do with whatever interaction, what is it causing or compelling me to do? Is it causing me to overeat?
Mm,
okay.
Yeah.
Am I sleeping now more than I should? Am I not taking care of myself? Am I becoming defensive with other people? What is going on with me that I now know is a maladaptive or destructive behavior for me?
So that's important. So there's a lot of ways to look at this as a clue, so you don't have to guess. Either your feelings or the way you behave, the way you speak maybe to others. And when we come back from our break, we will continue this discussion because this is good. This can give people some hints and clues to determine if they have emotional baggage.
Yes.
And then who are they going to call? Cynthia Hyatt.
That's right.
That's who they're going to call. And we'll be right back after this break.
KXXT.
Are you earning 8% on your money? Hi, I'm Dan Cochimilio. I can guarantee 8% annual growth for future income. That's right, 8% guaranteed annual growth for future income that you can never outlive. It's your money, money that God has put you in charge of managing. Are you a good steward of your money? How do you know if you are? Do you know if your money is 100% safe from market losses? Is your estate planning as good as it could be? Are you trusting the answers to money questions to a person who doesn't share a Christ-centered worldview? I believe there are people out there who don't care about you as much as they care about getting your money. I don't operate that way. I offer free consultation and will help you with estate planning and show you how to double or even triple your money for retirement. My purpose is to help you secure your money. It's that simple. So call me, Dan Cochimilio, at 623-825-3900. That number again is 623-825-3900. That's 623-825-3900.
This is David Lewis from the Church of Christ, inviting you to listen to the Know Your Bible radio program each Saturday afternoon at 5 o'clock at KXXT 1010. This program is geared so that everyone can understand the Word of God, what it actually says. They'll know what God would have them to do so that they can live by His principles. That's the Know Your Bible radio program, Saturday afternoons, 5 o'clock p.m., here at KXXT 1010.
Coyotes Talk, Arizona Cardinals, Phoenix Suns, Arizona Diamondbacks. Sports Talk and Breakthrough Sports heard live every Friday from 2:30 to 4 p.m. We give you a complete rundown on your favorite sports team. Listen to key interviews, understand important strategies, analyze the mindset of teams and athletes, all on Breakthrough Sports every Friday from 2:30 to 4 p.m. here on KXXT 1010 a.m.
910 KXXT, Arizona Station.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Match No Match with Cynthia Hyatt. Cynthia, we both have similar color shirts on. You look beautiful with the
Thank
purple.
Thank you very much.
So the viewers out there, look.
We have like the exact same color on.
Yeah, is that funny? that on President's Day, what's going on here? So if you want to view the lovely Cynthia, go to breakradioshow.com. That's breakradioshow.com. You can go right in and watch us live right here, right now.
It's kind of amazing.
It is. And we were talking off there on this last break about the law of attraction. I think at some level, people understand that, you know, whether they agree with certain books that came out on that or not. But the concept makes sense. Likes attract likes. And at a deep level, maybe quantum physics, whatever, I think they've proven some of that stuff. So what people can do, let me just get your comments on that. If they're not sure how to go inward, they can pretend or actually realize that the world is just like a big TV screen or a big movie screen reflecting their innermost thoughts and feelings and beliefs projected out there. So if you see part of your life, an area of your life not working, then you go, okay, not to get mad at it, but look and trace it inward and see if you can discover how to issue a different projection.
Well, I think what you're saying in maybe a more simplified version is, if I'm not real clear about who I am, then one of the ways I can understand is I can see what manifests outside of
there
me.
There you go. Nicely
so when
said.
I see all these people in my life that are difficult people and I don't like who they are and I don't like how they're treating me, then I need to say, what is it that is happening inside of me that somehow is allowing or attracting or encouraging, you know, or reinforcing this kind of behavior toward me or these types of people that engage in this? Because if I think it's not like me, then why is it around me?
Yeah, nicely said.
Yes.
That could be a book title.
Thank you.
It's not like me.
Why is it around me?
No, I like that. Can we write that down? Kurt, will you write that down for us? I that's a good one, right?
Yes. Because, you know, now, certainly we can, that's an oversimplification in a lot of ways. But there is a great amount of validity and wisdom to that.
There is, and the thing to take note is a lot of people might be afraid, like, no, that's because of the outside circumstances. Now, but don't beat yourself up over it. Look at it, you can look at it one of two ways. You can say, no, I blame something else or someone else. Or you could say, wow, thank you for sharing an opportunity, the universe or whoever, and allowing me to now change that projection.
Right. Because
by going
thing,
inward.
Yes, because what we're looking at is we're not looking at, you know, these anomalies. We're not looking at like a one person or these like kind of strange occurrences that happen to us. We're looking at chronic enduring patterns. That tells me I'm a part of this.
Yeah.
Because I'm somehow facilitating it, energizing it, connected to it because it's chronic and enduring.
That's right. Even if it's someone else's pattern, it's still a pattern that you're mixing
in
with.
Exactly. There's something about whatever's going on there that has got me hooked.
Yeah.
That is working for me at some level, even if it's working negatively.
And that's a great tip. People can use that right here, right now, today,
mm-hmm.
to look at that as information.
Absolutely.
You know, don't take it personal, even though it might be personal, but don't take it personal.
Well, see,
look at it objectively.
I always am saying to people, you do not need to be afraid of information.
Yeah.
Because information can't do anything to you. You are the one that makes the choice about the information. And so when we start to get afraid of information, we give it power that it isn't intended to have. And so information is simply for me to discern, to look at, to process it, to decide whether or not it fits or doesn't fit, and decide what I want to do with it.
That's right. And one thing they can do is say, everything's neutral. Mm-hmm. It's I who give it meaning and negative or positive. So
when it comes to us.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Well, exactly. So I think if you look at the information as neutral, don't place, you know, anger on it or don't place other things on it.
Well,
but
see,
just
that's a part of not being afraid of the information.
Yeah.
So I don't want people to get confused and think that we're saying it's actually like on a health-wise or a moral-wise neutral. It's not.
Right.
But if I look at it as a neutral object, then I don't react to it.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. Give me knuckles.
Yes.
All right. Some more knuckles. We do knuckles several times on this show. So I think that's very valuable. And then, however, people may need some help to trace that outside going in, and that's where you would come in.
Well, and I hope that people, if they only hear this one thing from the show, it would be important. One of the whole points of interacting with another person for discovery is that's the way we are made. We are made relational beings. We can't help it. It's part of we breathe. It's air. And so we can't discover ourselves in a vacuum. It's impossible.
Oh, there we go.
And
oh,
so,
I like that.
You know, when we talk about the Johari window, I think I talked to you about that a little bit before.
Yeah.
Well, there's that one window pane that is the me that I don't know that you know. And see, what you know about me is very valuable information for me because I can't get outside of myself and experience me.
As long as I'm as neutral or clear as possible with great discernment.
No, but either way, it's good information for me.
Because
if you're an out-of-control person, if you are like a really dysfunctional, prejudiced person, that's still good information for me because
if that's
who you are, then I'm probably not going to value your opinion as much.
Oh, which consider is really, the source,
yes,
in other
which
words.
Which is really good information for me.
That is good information.
So if you're telling me all kinds of things that don't fit, and I see the way you live your life, I see the way you interact with people, I might say to myself, you know, I'm not going to take that feedback and see that as truth.
Yeah.
Because I'm seeing the way that you live your life, the way you act, now not you per se, but,
yeah,
you know,
thank you,
versus somebody that maybe I respect and admire, and I see how they interact with other people, and they start to give me feedback. Yeah. I may say, even if that's uncomfortable feedback, that's really helpful for me.
That's why I watch your behavior. I always tell people, like, in any environment, but especially, or not especially, but a business environment, if you're perceived as a complainer, it's like the boy who cried wolf. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
If you're complaining all the time, and the one time you really need to complain, are they going to take you
exactly.
seriously?
Exactly.
So you got to watch, you know, how you relate, and that's
right.
what you're saying. And
because truly, that's the only thing we can control.
Yeah.
Is ourselves, what we think, and what we decide to do with it.
And there are, you know, so many ways to learn. I think the first step, and see if you agree with this, is a commitment to learning, is making that decision to go inward, not just buy books that you put on your shelf and someday read, but really make a decision and an active decision to go inward and really learn whatever it takes.
Absolutely.
I mean, ways to do it.
Absolutely. And it really does lend you to a much more meaningful life.
Oh, incredible.
Because one of the things that I talk about frequently is, you know, pain is inevitable. There is no way to not have pain on this planet. So I either have pain for good, pain for gain, or the pain I feel is in vain, which is horrible. And so I want all the pain that I'm going to endure to be for my own gain, not just in vain. I just survive the pain and I go on to get more of it.
That's almost insane. No, okay, you were saying gain, vain, pain, insane. All right, but that's...
So it's really important when we're thinking about introspecting or having to look at myself, it could be painful, but it's more painful to just keep doing what I'm doing and hate what I'm getting and just surviving it.
Exactly, and so many people do that. It's very sad. Whether it's relationships, mm-hmm. in career, profession, money issues, I mean, it's like you could go on and on.
Yes.
This all applies to any issue in
life
because it's life.
That's right.
So life should be a great opportunity, not something you want to just get through, but something you want to transcend through.
Absolutely.
Transcending is the key. I like this. Okay, now let's talk about some other parts of emotional baggage. How about forgiving yourself and maybe forgiving others? How does that enter into this whole emotional baggage issue?
Well, a lack of forgiveness always furthers and exacerbates emotional baggage.
It does.
Very much so.
How does that happen that way?
Well, if I have been hurt by somebody, and let's say I was hurt by a man because, huge one in our culture today is body image for women.
I'm sorry?
Body image for women.
Oh.
So let's say I was interacting. Oh, you're like, really? I didn't know that.
I didn't know that. Kurt, did you know that? Oh, he knew that.
Yeah, right. Anyways, I'll let you act naive right now.
Okay, naive. Yes. Play the Dave song. Okay.
So say, you know, as a woman, I get hurt about my body image. A man says a derogatory thing, treats me, you know, inappropriately, objectifies me, whatever that may be. So let's say I get emotional baggage for that, and I think I'm only wanted for my body, or I think the only reason I'm not wanted is because I don't have a perfect body. Okay, so that's going to be a lot of emotional baggage because it's going to turn into a lot of behaviors.
And part of that problem is the media really...
Mm-hmm. Hugely.
Yes, and so connecting that.
Yes, and so we see women get more involved in eating disorders. We see them get more involved in plastic surgery, augmentations, all kinds of things. I'm not against those things per se, but we always want to understand the intention of it. So if I have that kind of emotional baggage, right, and I have the memory of the man that did it, and my whole motivation for changing me is to get back at him.
Oh, yeah.
So he will see what he missed.
Oh, not a good motivation.
Not good at all. And so that lack of forgiveness, that retaining that hurt as a way to energize my new whatever compelling reason to get healthy or look good is very, very dysfunctional, and it will harm me in the end.
It will, because when you find that revenge is not so sweet, you just went through a lot of money and a lot of pain and continued emotional pain because you can't control another person anyway. And if you want them to suffer, well, that's not a good place to start. If you want someone to suffer, that means you need to suffer,
right,
too.
Right. Well, see, because the lack of forgiveness keeps the wound open.
Yeah, that's
always
right.
And so it doesn't let the wound heal because it's constantly agitating it.
How do people forgive then? How do people forgive themselves? Or is that quite a process?
That can be quite a process depending on what it is.
Yeah.
I personally, the only way I know to do any kind of forgiveness, it has to be a spiritual issue. You can't do it in and of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have necessarily as humans the capacity to forgive sometimes the forgiveness that another individual is needed. You know, I might be able to forgive little things, but when it comes to huge injury, I don't have within myself the capacity to do that in and of myself.
So you have to give it to something greater than yourself to lift that off yourself. Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense. And then also forgiving, let's say, an ex or anyone, actually.
Yes, because, see, if I don't forgive, then I'm still tied to them.
Yeah.
That is an emotional, spiritual tie in my brain that I am now still connected to that person. I'm just connected in a very negative way.
And you're keeping yourself down if you try to keep others down.
Well, and there's a part of yourself you can't give to another person because it's taken up by that other person.
Energy around it.
Mm-hmm.
And the energy has
that
space.
So what's happened
space.
Is that now that person that you refuse to forgive, the one that you're saying you don't ever want to have anything to do with, is now with you every day.
That makes sense. And a lot of people, you know, sad, you know, you see people that they get divorced or splitting up or whatever, and there's so much anger around that. Is it a feeling of abandonment a lot of times? Is it being rejected? Is it wanting, it probably deep down, it's like, hey, I'm still lovable, and then they go out and do crazy things to prove they're lovable, but it really doesn't prove they're lovable. It just...
Well, I think that it's going to manifest in all those. I think, you know, when you have people that are divorcing, you know a dream has died, and that's, for anybody, that is tragic. And so why that dream died is going to create a whole bunch of hurts. But nobody gets married with the idea of divorcing. I mean, there have been some. Very, very few, though.
Would that be Anna Nicole Smith?
I don't know.
Oh.
I mean, there are some people that are trying to get married to get out of a situation.
That's true.
And so...
The grass is greener.
Even then, there's going to be a part of them maybe that's hoping that it works. But the majority of people that are marrying are truly... wanting this greater, bigger than themselves idea.
Yeah.
And so when that dies, and when whatever reason that is, there's a lot of things that have to be forgiven.
Well, and that's so
because
important.
They've let themselves down, they've let another down, someone has let them down, God has let them down. Whatever it is, there's a lot to forgive.
And you can tell, I mean, a lot of people, as they clench their fists and jaws, saying, "I forgave that person," But you really look inside, and do you really want the best for that person? That might be one tip off if you've really forgiven that person.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, one of the things that I think helps people, when I always refer to an emotional bank account the same as a financial institution. So we have a lot of people going through bankruptcies now. Well, a divorce many times is a bankruptcy. And so I say to them frequently, if you went through a bankruptcy, you know, the bank wrote it off. They charged it off.
Yeah,
it's gone.
Right.
They're not trying to collect that. They can't collect it. You don't even have it in you to give it to them even if you wanted to.
That's right.
So when I'm forgiving somebody of a huge hurt, many times what I'm forgiving is I'm charging it off. I'm saying they don't have, it doesn't mean they shouldn't pay it back. Of course they should.
Yeah.
Of course they should. But either they can't or they won't. And so I don't want to waste my time continuing to pursue, like a debt collector, a debt that is never going to be paid back.
Great analogy.
So I'm going to charge that off. And there are some people that I might charge off a debt, and they're in the process of growth, well, then maybe I'll bank with them emotionally again if they change their behavior. There are some people that I will not ever bank with again.
Yeah.
But I still am going to charge off that debt because I want to be free. I don't want to deal with that person anymore.
And that's called discernment, mm-hmm. knowing who to bank with and who not
that's
to
right.
bank with.
That's
and when
right.
we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with Cynthia Hyatt. This is Match No Match, and we'll be right back.
Weidenauer, Heighton & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Heighton & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today. 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Match No Match, starring Cynthia Hyatt. We're talking about emotional baggage. A lot of interesting things we've talked about so far about internal dialogue, what people say to themselves, how they react or not react to certain feelings, how they're acting, behaving in to other people in public. Whether a big one, how if you've, why or not why, but if you've forgiven yourself and others is huge.
Huge.
That is huge. Let's ask a couple other questions, because at 3 o'clock in about 12 minutes, we will have Hayden Gilbert,
yes,
the online dating guy from Examiner.com in Los Angeles. He's going to call in. That should be interesting. Online dating is it's big.
It's very big.
Big money, too,
yes,
evidently.
Yes.
Wow, you want to put up a website? Okay, here we go. So the other couple things is to really look at maybe be honest about certain character flaws or habits, different patterns that you have in life, and really look at those things. How would you describe
them? Well, I think this is some of what we're talking about is this idea of what's a checklist for entering into a new relationship. And so I do want to be aware of enduring character flaws, and we all have we're just flawed people. And that is part of our perfection, actually. Is that it just makes us phenomenal creatures, because we are constantly overcoming and constantly, working past things and getting more depth because of it. And so the character flaws that we may have may be part of the way our identity works, part of our personality, and it can be an enduring good quality that gets magnified or misused. Mm. And so, when we do like any temperament testing, if I talk to people about whether or not they're introverted or extroverted, well, extroverts are wonderful. The majority of my friends are extroverts, and I like that. Now, when extroversion is misused, okay, then it has no boundaries. It discloses things it should not disclose. It just talks off the top of his head. It doesn't filter anything. And if we have introverts, which is a wonderful quality, these are people that have to ponder, have to think before they talk, then if I misuse my introversion, then I'm causing all those extroverts to feel like they're outside, hoping that someday they'll get into my internal world, and they feel, neglected, they feel abandoned, they feel rejected. So they feel like they're always waiting on the introvert to know what's going on.
So that reminds me, in NLP, a thing called context reframing. Mm-hmm. And And what they were talking about is that an NLP presupposition, actually, all behavior is useful in some context.
Yes, yes.
So it's really the context. Mm-hmm. Introverts, extroverts, in of itself is a great skill.
Right.
But are you misusing it in different contexts? Are you using it appropriately, maybe effectively, in other contexts?
Well, it's the same example, you know, salesman. Now, we know that everybody has the ability to sell. I can be extremely persuasive when I believe in something, when I'm really fired up about it. But I'm not a salesman. Now, see, salesmen, that is a talent. That if you've ever known a salesman, they are phenomenal, okay? They are born with that. Now, it's a wonderful thing, but if they misuse it, then that is not a wonderful thing. That is something that's unethical.
That's right, and some people would not call them a salesman, if because they would have other names,
con artist
or whatever.
Right.
You're right, and it goes back to intention. Having a great skill with the right intention always
seems
to be great.
And so our talents can be character flaws if we are not using them appropriately.
Yeah, and I think, it's sad because I think we saw that, I've said this before in other shows, where part of the problem with the financial collapse is greed thinking, short-term thinking, me thinking.
That's right.
And even with the great talents of certain people, they got off their game
or whatever happened. That's right.
And they tied in and tapped into that. That doesn't work.
It never works. And then it will eventually create a sinkhole.
And that's what happened.
And then it collapses.
And it did collapse. Yes. And so what's the lesson? Maybe the lesson is, hey, it's great to have talents, but make sure your intention to help people come first.
Absolutely. It's like, how am I using it and why?
Yeah.
Why am I doing this?
Very important.
Yes, and what is my motivation?
In any profession, too. Mm-hmm. So it's not just sales.
Absolutely.
How do you do that? How do you ask yourself? I mean, is it just simply, what is my motivation and intention? Or how do you really embrace that you're coming from more of a selfless state of mind versus selfish? Or is that even...
Well, there's a great metaphor that the Christian community uses, I'm sure, is there fruit that's produced? Mm. So is there life that comes out of what I'm doing? If there's life that comes out of what I'm doing that creates its own life and keeps going on even after I'm gone, then obviously the intention, the selflessness, the love, the whatever that is, came through the talent. And now that furthers itself. And so if not, then it's going to be a short-term gain with nothing left.
That makes a lot of sense. And if people can just stop a little bit instead of scrambling around and really realize that, they could serve themselves, well, the world much better.
And it's also the other thing about character flaws and habits is my ability to handle the word no.
Oh.
And can I say no to myself?
How does that work?
It's hard.
Oh, that's like certain addictions?
Anything. It has to do with my motivations. Can I say no to myself? If I'm enjoying what I'm doing, is it now more about how I'm feeling or is it really good for myself and the other person involved?
Gotcha.
Can I say no, enough is enough?
Yeah.
This is good. It doesn't, because there's always, the saying, if a little is good, more is better.
Yeah,
and
good
we
point.
Have to be careful about those kinds of things.
That reminds me of the movie Twilight. Ever see that movie?
I haven't yet.
It's really interesting because I think the main character, Edward, they say, are you Team Edward or Team, who is that other guy? I forgot his name already. But anyway, whoever it is. But he, that part of that movie I thought was very spiritual. It sounds funny because it was.
I think it was very spiritual from what I hear.
From what my perspective is, Kurt probably has the name of the other guy, Team Edward and Team Jacob. That's right. But the point is that the spiritual part was allegedly with vampires, it's supposed to be about that, but they really reframed it as people that had great discipline and always working for the higher good. And that's what I found interesting about Twilight, is that this one set of vampires didn't fit the definition. Mm-hmm. They behaved, they felt, they acted, they believed in a way that was much greater good with greater discipline, and always left people in a state of harmlessness. I liked it. Anyway, maybe I'm the only one that sees it that way. I thought it was good. So with the time remaining until Hayden Gilbert comes back, or comes on, I should say, at 3, this is a question that you have on one of your outlines. Would I want to be with me?
Yes.
Now, that struck me when I was reading that. Yes. I go, that is really cool. So how would you ask that, and have you seen this before when you ask this question, and what do people usually say?
Well, many times what they say, they first of all, they don't want to think about it.
They
because
don't.
This is where we get very externally focused, is that we want our good feelings to come from being around somebody that makes us feel good.
Ah, gotcha.
And so we don't feel good about ourselves, or we don't feel good with ourselves, or we don't feel good inside of ourselves, and so we are wanting to get outside. And we're hoping that people, places, and things will alleviate that feeling. And so when you ask somebody, you know, would you like to be with you? It usually reveals tremendous amounts of things. It either reveals how introspective they're willing to be. It reveals maybe how much shame they have. It reveals how much unforgiveness they have toward themselves. Many times it reveals how much insecurity. It reveals what hurts that they are not wanting to address. So there's many things that occur when I really say to myself, you know, if I have to be with me, do I like that idea? Because I'm with myself 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So I think the greatest gift that we can give to ourselves is peace, that I'm at peace with me.
There's no doubt, and that's
and
the
that's
greatest gift
thing,
you can give to others,
right.
too, though.
And see, the more at peace I am with me, then I am a peacemaker.
You know, that is awesome. And, you know, when you were talking about that, and the way you described it, what came to my mind would be that's the key to change. If you ask truly, well, would I like to be with me? And I'm starting to think as you're talking mm-hmm. right here live on the air, saying, let's say, well, yeah, there's some great qualities here, and there's some things, maybe I should change a couple of those things. But I took it, like you said, as
yes.
information. I go, well, they weren't bad things. They're mm-hmm. just maybe some things I can enhance.
Exactly.
And
yes.
so that's a great question. They're
yes.
just sit back and enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But people don't enjoy. They maybe it's too painful. Maybe there's some stuff that they've attached such painful meanings, they don't even want to go there, right?
Frequently, yes.
It's sort of sad, though, because
yes,
what
is.
Good is life if you can't go inward?
Well, and I think people lose sight of the phenomenal, what phenomenal creatures humans are.
Yeah, I think so. And maybe they don't even know that.
They
maybe
don't.
It's out of their awareness,
mm-hmm.
perhaps.
Well, and there's our culture has a tendency to be so outwardly focused that we really think the good is always out there somewhere with somebody else doing something somewhere.
Yeah, that's right. And that's got to be the media really mm-hmm. promoting those things.
Well, the media is promoting who we are. So,
yeah.
You know, the
and
media.
And we actually believe
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we have to remember that the media is pretty much does not occur in a vacuum. So it isn't some great Oz that's creating a concept that they want all of us to go along with.
It's a reflection of what we're doing.
Absolutely.
Already.
And what works, and what is already has some momentum.
And it's sad because part of the media that reflects that, maybe they don't spend enough time reflecting the other side of that. Guys like Elvis Presley, people that from society standards seem to have everything what society says people want.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't happy at
exactly.
all. Not even close, was he? That's very sad, isn't
well,
it?
Well, and that's part of the allure of fame and money, is that we really think that will somehow make us happy.
And it doesn't.
No, because happiness is not out there.
It's an inner state mm-hmm. first,
that's
not
right.
a result of.
That's exactly right. Now, it doesn't mean that things outside of me don't give me lots of happiness.
Yeah.
But if I depend on them to be happy, I'm now a prisoner or a victim to my external circumstances.
And that includes other people.
Mm-hmm.
If you get
yes.
married or go out with someone or whatever, have some type of partnership, dating situation, and you're doing it because that person makes you happy. Watch how you say that. I mean, because if they have the power to make you happy, if they disappear, mm-hmm. they're going to have the power to make you miserable too.
Mm-hmm.
That would be no fun.
Right. And so it is understanding effectiveness because we certainly affect one another.
Yeah.
But if I actually give over my power to another person and they are
yeah.
now determining my level of peace, happiness, joy, contentment, then I am now a warden. They are now the warden of me, and I'm the prisoner of that person, hoping that I'm going to be okay.
And it's a false sense of security, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? And that is the dating world as we see it right now. What is going on with people? That's why, Cynthia, you are on Match No Match. You're trying to say, wait a minute, there's a different way to think about these
yes.
type of things. And
yes.
you better start now because, and if you don't want to do it for you, do it for your kids. You're a role model.
Absolutely.
And that's the sad part, is that kids will learn the same type of style that often as their parents.
And that is what they don't have a choice about.
Yeah.
Because they are learning it before they have choice. They are just absorbing it.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. At a very
mm-hmm.
young age, too. Mm-hmm. Very sad.
The same way they learned the English.
Yeah.
They learned relationship.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's that powerful.
So do it for your kids. If you don't want to do it for you, the benefit will be everyone will win. And when we come back, at 3 o'clock, we will have Hayden Gilbert, the LA Online Examiner for examiner.com. This is going to be great. We're going to talk about online dating. I can't wait. And we'll be right back.